go out to sea? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, see, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you. Truly I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In the name of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. I repeat words from the gospel as recorded by Matthew, words that are taken from the Old Testament, from the book of Malachi. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. The older I get in years, the more convinced I am of the truth of the saying, the time flies. Notable things seem to pass in the twinkling of an eye. Now, I was aware of that some days ago when I realized that it's over 60 years ago now since I got my first job in paid employment. That lasted 3 weeks, not because I was fired or was work shy, but because time caught up with me yet again, and I had to give up work to go back to school in Dublin as a 15-year-old. In order to obtain my first job, I didn't have to lift a finger. I was at a loose end at the beginning of August, and my father, who seemed to have contacts everywhere, spoke to someone in a local flour mill in Limerick. All I had to do was turn up by 8 o'clock on a Monday morning. No interview, no character check, no safety drill, no qualifications, nothing. Today, I'm sure the management, including human resources, wouldn't allow me near the place. Those 3 weeks proved to be memorable, and I freely admit that I was on a very sharp learning curve. My task each day was simple. Outside the flour mill, lorries from all over the country were arriving, filled with grain, which would eventually be turned into flour. I had to approach each lorry in the queue, obtain a docket from the driver, and bring it to an office. That was long before the advent, as you'll realize, of mobile phones. I would inform the office of the number of lorries in the queue and, based on that, report back to the drivers with the good or not so good news of the time they were likely to have to wait in the queue before their lorry was relieved of its load. In effect, I was employed for 3 weeks as a messenger. Like that job, the flour mill has long gone, but in a much more sophisticated sense, the messenger continues to have an important role to play in society. This morning, we're focusing on the role of a particular messenger who has become known as the Advent Saint. John the Baptist was a very strange and unorthodox character, whose presence here in St. Columba's might make you and me feel uncomfortable. In fact, the truth is, most wouldn't want him near the place. And yet, he is inextricably linked as a messenger to Jesus. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. To some extent, John didn't help the mission of Jesus, being considered by many critics to be mentally unstable. In fact, those same critics were quick to dismiss Jesus to, quote, as a glutton and a drunkard. From what we read, John was a very outspoken prophet and firebrand who feared nobody and was vehement in his words of denunciation when he discovered corruption in high places. He would have a field day, I think, today in our society, without running the risk, in his case, of losing his head. If we can forget about John's abrasive manner, which may be very difficult because he was a difficult character, the essential message of John the Messenger was that we should be prepared spiritually and emotionally for the coming of God. Now, that's a message for all seasons and for all places. His message was similar to that of Elijah, which makes one of the newer hymns in our hymnal appropriate at this season of the year. It's the hymn, "These Are the Days of Elijah, Declaring the Word of the Lord." When we listen again to the profound Christmas gospel, we will hear that there was a man sent from God whose name was John. We'd be justified in thinking that John was a voice crying in the wilderness, but he was certainly someone driven not by a selfish preoccupation with himself, but of a wider concern for the human race. I want to suggest that John the Messenger had a number of very positive things to say, despite his unorthodox and strange personality. First of all, he demanded that people should share the things of life with one another. That was what we call today a social gospel, which laid it down that God will never absolve the person who is content to have too much while others have too little. It's a message which we must not ignore as Christians at a time when people, even on our own doorsteps, are struggling to cope with the financial and economic challenges of everyday life. That was reflected in John's simple lifestyle. And whatever you may make of John, you and I cannot turn a blind eye to genuine and urgent appeals to assist the work of, for example, the Larder and other organisations on our doorstep. Secondly, John demanded that people use the talents that God has given to them to the best of their ability. And that was their, and it is our duty, not to stand idly by and do nothing, but to make whatever modest contribution we can to creating a better and a more egalitarian society. And thirdly, John focused on unpopular themes like repentance and judgment. But it was a judgment that could be faced with confidence. Repentance may be difficult for all of us. To have to say sorry is not always easy. But there are many times, and we are encouraged, incidentally, as you'll realise, to repent at every service of our shortcomings. There are many times when self-admission of our faults to God may make us better people. While repentance may not be a popular theme, there is a place in the Christian message for criticism and maybe even for denunciation. The dysfunctional nature of the world means that none of us can be sweetness and light to people at all times. The prayer for today, the third Sunday in Advent, in acknowledging the role of John the Messenger, asks that the ministers and stewards of God's mysteries may be faithful to their vocation. And that's not limited, incidentally, to the vocation of those in the ordained ministry, or to those who have been commissioned to carry out tasks in the church, in this parish or elsewhere, but it includes the vocation of everybody who professes to be a Christian and attempts to practice his or her faith. Pessimists today will say that we live in a spiritual void and wilderness. Some secularists will argue that religion is the cause of all problems and therefore should be relegated to the position of little or no importance. I heard such words last week after figures were published suggesting that over 50% of people in England and Wales now claim to have no religious beliefs. That is no surprise, because certainly where I live in North Down, and I think where you live here in East Belfast, that figure wouldn't be far short of 50%. Now, in saying that, perhaps that is disheartening. But let's remember each one of us here, as we journey towards Christmas, that one of its messages from the messenger is that Christ has crossed the wilderness of time and space to show each one of us how to live. Focus on the one we call the Prince of Peace, and it can ensure that while we may contend, and many of us have to contend with the storms of life and have to face up to the stormy message of John the Baptist, we can experience also in its aftermath an inner peace and calmness that can pass even our understanding. And so to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, be ascribed as is most justly due all might, majesty, dominion, power, and glory, henceforth and forevermore. Amen. Amen.
The congregation may be seated while the choir sing the anthem, A Tender Shoot. We stand to affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge your baptism for the forgiveness